Today is January 7th, 2006, and this is the TMO2Go Weekly Roundup, a Mac Observer podcast. I'm Ricky Spiro. You may notice that things sound a little different in this roundup. Unfortunately, this week I'm traveling, and I'm away from my normal recording setup. This weekend I'm in Boston, Massachusetts, obviously preparing for the Macworld Conference and Expo next...
Wait, they did what? They canceled the Boston show? What do you mean there's no Boston show in January? What are you talking about? I'm calling my agent.
To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/roundup. The top story this week, chasing Apple at CES. Last week, we pointed out that the hype at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, which began in earnest on Thursday, focuses disproportionately on Apple, the way in the past it has focused on firms like Sony. The reason? Obviously, because the iPod is the hottest consumer electronics gadget out there. For this reason, a number of firms look like they're scrambling after Apple's success in the portable digital music business. We take a look this week at some of the stories related to that effort. First up, a prediction come true. HP announced Thursday that it will no longer bundle iTunes with new PCs. It is switching to Real Network's Rhapsody Music service. Starting in the spring of 2006, HP customers will also get a 30-day free trial subscription to Rhapsody. Unlike the iTunes Music Store, Rhapsody is a content subscription service that requires monthly fees. The deal with HP is potentially a major score for Real Networks. Speaking of dumping iTunes, Motorola announced Tuesday that the next version of its Rocker cell phone, the Rocker E2, won't include iTunes. Instead, the Rocker E2 will ship with Motorola's own software, which is designed to work with Motorola's new iRadio service. The Rocker E2 will store up to 70 hours of music, as compared with the E1's 100 song, that's about 5 hours limit. The E2 will also be designed to connect to home and car stereo systems wirelessly. iRadio will go head-to-head with the XM satellite radio and Sirius satellite radio subscription services, offering 435 commercial-free radio channels for about $7 a month. Users can download channels to their computer, then transfer them to the Rocker E2, and also play them on their home or car stereo via a Bluetooth adapter. Motorola has not announced an official launch date for either product. Meanwhile, ScanDisk is after a piece of the iPod pie. The company announced two new MP3 players that bear a striking resemblance to Apple's iPod Nano and Shuffle. The Sansa E200 series players come in 2GB, 4GB, or 6GB capacities. They are priced at $200, $250, and $300, respectively. ScanDisk expects to have the players on the market by March. There was plenty of other iPod chasing going on at CES, but Gene Munster and Michael Olson of Piper Jaffray don't think the field of alternative MP3 players will offer much competition for the iPod in 2006. Sony's NWA-1000 and A3000 were on display at the show. Mr. Munster says they completely missed the mark. ScanDisk's aforementioned Sansa E200 product line, which closely resembles the iPod Nano, offers some nice features like an FM radio and a micro SD expansion slot, but the analysts say the interface does not match the iPods. iRiver, which had no new products at CES, was displaying its U10 devices, which have limited storage capacity and high prices. Creative also had no new products. Mr. Munster feels that the Zen Micro and the Vision M are well designed and easy to use, but won't gain Creative the market share that it's looking for. Samsung's YP Z5, offers a larger screen and longer battery life than the iPod, but cannot compete with the iPod's interface. Finally, Toshiba's S30 and S60 match the video-capable iPod's price and capacity, but offer smaller screens. The short version of the Piper report: the various Apple competitors can match some of the iPod's features, but they can't hit them all. Until they do, Apple is likely to reign supreme in the portable digital player market. Piper Jaffray is maintaining its outperform rating for Apple's stock. Piper's Munster and Olson, who lately sound noticeably more like reporters from the Mac Web than financial analysts, are also writing about their predictions for product announcements at the Macworld Expo next week. Their predictions include an update to the iPod Shuffle, an Intel-based Mac Mini and iBook, and new iTunes video content. The analysts even suggest we might see feature films on the iTunes Music Store. I'll believe that when I hear it. The Piper analysts are also adding the catch-all suggestion that Apple may release new consumer electronics devices. The form and function of such a device was not specified. This brings us to the other half of the Apple chasing story. Few industry watchers seem to believe it will bear much fruit. American technology research analyst Sha Wu on Tuesday issued a report arguing that its competitive advantage went beyond software. According to Mr. Wu, the company's focus, vision, industrial design, and integrated approach with hardware, software, and service helped create its easy-to-use and best-selling products. He added that CEO Steve Jobs is instrumental in helping the company maintain its position as an innovator and trendsetter rather than a follower. Now, that's an opinion I've never heard before. The report was triggered by public statements from a Sony executive. For the full story, you can visit macobserver.com/roundup. Mr. Wu reiterated his buy rating on Apple stock, on which he has a $77 price target. Without belaboring the point, suffice it to say that Piper Jaffray also considers Apple a top stock for 2006. Perhaps it's worth noting that Piper's Mr. Munster believes that where 2005 was the year of the iPod, 2006 will be the year of the Mac. Product development will still be strong throughout the year, but new innovations in the Mac product line, including Intel-based models and new form factors, should lead to several significant product releases. Piper also picked Adobe and Avid as stocks to watch. Apple stock closed this week at a new high of $76.29. Perhaps it's worth noting that this price puts the stock well within 10% of most of the price targets for the stock stated by Wall Street analysts. Is it too crass to ask whether all these analysts with buy ratings will either adjust their targets or change their ratings? Maybe that's a subject for another roundup. Incidentally, Apple this week also pulled a notch ahead in the digital video download biz. In a previous show, I said I'd stop giving detail-written updates on video additions to the iTunes Music Store. We can all read the tea leaves. It's apparently successful, and more networks are going to start climbing on the bandwagon. Suffice it to say, then, that Walt Disney on Tuesday announced that 9 more of its networks will be selling content through iTunes. It also made available classic animated shorts from its archives. The newly included networks are ESPN and ABC Sports, ABC Entertainment and Touchstone Television, ABC Family, ABC News, Buena Vista Television, Disney Channel, and SoapNet. All videos cost the usual $2. With all this talk about Apple out in front at CES, it's worth pointing out that Apple isn't even at the show. That's right, one of the biggest names in electronics these days, the only product hype like the iPod is Microsoft's Xbox 360, isn't exhibiting at the Consumer Electronics Show. In an editorial on the subject, staff writer Jeff Gamet takes a look at the message Apple's absence sends to the industry. Now, from failing attempts to chase Apple in the music biz, to an accelerating chase of Microsoft's Internet Explorer. The Microsoft web browser may still have the lion's share of the web browser market, but it lost users through 2005, while Safari steadily gained and maintained its number 3 position. Safari's upward climb ended the year with a 3.1% market share, nearly double the 1.7% it held last January. By contrast, Internet Explorer steadily lost market share in 2005. It started the year with 89% of the browser market and finished the year with 85%. The number 2 browser was Firefox, which finished the year at 9.6%. Safari is the only single-platform browser with any significant market share. Internet Explorer, Firefox, Opera, and Netscape are all available in Mac OS X and Microsoft Windows versions. One last point of interest that deserves mention, even though it doesn't directly play into this week's top story. The Blu-ray Disc Association announced at CES that the format specification is complete for BD-ROM, BDRE, and BDR media in both single layer, that's 25 gigabyte capacity, and dual layer, that's 50 gigabyte discs. Various companies are showing off Blu-ray DVD players during CES, and Blu-ray versions of theatrical films are on display too. Sony's PlayStation 3, also being demonstrated during the show, will use the format. Apple is a member of the Blu-ray Disc Association Board of Directors, along with Dell, Hewlett-Packard, Hitachi, LG Electronics, Mitsubishi, Panasonic, Pioneer, Royal Philips, Samsung, Sharp, Sony, TDK, Thomson, 20th Century Fox, Disney, and Warner Brothers. The story isn't all that big a deal in and of itself, but we mention it so it will stay on your radar. The Mac Observer, along with the rest of the tech world, is closely watching the format war over next-generation DVD technology. Currently, Blu-ray is well out in front, meaning the format war may end before widespread consumer adoption begins. Another important story got moving this week. In the CES keynote, Intel CEO Paul Otellini unveiled Vive, a new chipset, which I have been mispronouncing in previous shows. Vive is designed to enable better digital media distribution. We carried two stories about the keynote in addition to a photo gallery, but I'll delay coverage of this story until next week when we'll know better whether Apple has plans to use the chipset. Now for the product and events roundup. Due to the multitude of announcements from CES, it's impossible to mention all the products we wrote about last week, but here are the ones that looked particularly cool. The Flux, which opened its doors last March as a home for creators and viewers of short films, on Tuesday announced it is starting an iPod Film Festival. It will begin on February 1st. Flux is now taking submissions. The company's website has the guidelines. The submission fee is $15 US, and entries must be received by January 25th. FileMaker announced the immediate availability of FileMaker Server 8 Advanced on Wednesday. The software package includes features above and beyond those in FileMaker and costs $2,500. iCompositions has added a new set of free Apple loops for its site members. The new set includes 264 loops from Perimeter Sound Arts and brings the total number of free loops iComposition offers to 780. Sorry, that's more than 780. The package is available for download at the iCompositions website, where a free registration is required. iCompositions.com also launched Artist Podcasts, a service that hosts RSS feeds so bands can distribute their music as podcasts. The service costs $4 a month. A firm whose name I can only guess is pronounced iQuidi Corp, but that's probably totally wrong, is shipping the DV920 video eyewear glasses, which give the illusion of viewing a 42-inch screen from 11 feet away. The glasses work with the video-capable iPod, other portable devices, and computers. The glasses are priced at $550. Motorola on Thursday announced the O-Rocker. O-Rocker is a Bluetooth-enabled headset that is built into a pair of Oakley sunglasses and similar to the Razer Wire device built for Motorola's Razer phones. Logitech announced its new cordless keyboard and mouse combo for the Mac on Wednesday. The S530 Laser for Mac has a 3/4-inch thick keyboard and a laser mouse with a tilt wheel. The S530 will be available in February in the United States and March in Europe. It costs $100. Here's something cool, a flash drive with an LCD for viewing file names. Royal Consumer Information Products launched the Royal EasyView Vista drives on Tuesday. The flash drives connect via USB 2. They are available in sizes from 128 megabytes at a cost of $50 to 1 gigabyte at $150. The company also introduced a secure digital card reader for $30, which also has a display. Valor Multimedia on Friday unveiled iLink, an interface that enables any iPod to play video, display photos, and control the MP3 player with a wireless remote. It even enables music playback in WMA format, something currently unsupported on the iPod. PodSpeakers announced the Dock on Thursday. The product is a universal docking station which accommodates all iPods, including older models. It also includes built-in speakers, the ability to charge your iPod, and comes in both black and white. Pricing and availability have not yet been announced. Griffin seems to release a new iTrip every month these days. This week, Misha Sakalaraplo reviews the newest model, the iTrip Auto. He also takes a look at the Tough Wrap iPod case. TechTool announced the immediate availability of its new diagnostic and repair tool, TechTool Protégé, on Friday. Protégé is a flash drive-sized... Protégé is a flash drive-sized toolkit that includes a bootable copy of macOS 10, TechTool Pro, Disk Studio, and several other utilities. TechTool Protégé costs $230. Extreme Mac announced the Tango sound system for the iPod on Thursday. The Tango includes a universal iPod dock, charger, stereo... charger, with stereo speakers and a subwoofer, a wireless remote, and audio-video outputs. The video outputs let you display photos and video from your iPod on a television. The Tango should be available in March and will cost $200. Sonos announced the Zone Player ZP80, a wireless multi-room digital audio system, on Wednesday. The ZP80 connects to a stereo or a computer and streams audio wirelessly to other rooms in your house. A wide range of file formats are supported, including MP3, WMA, AAC, Ogg Vorbis, Audible, Apple Lossless, FLAC, and other uncompressed WAVE and AIF files. It also comes preloaded with over 190 internet radio stations and supports Rhapsody and Audible. The Zone Player ZP80 will be available in the spring of 2006 for $350. Now for the odds, ends, diversions, and administrivia. Okay, I love this story. Jonathan Ive, Apple's Senior Vice President of Design, was awarded the title, this is true, of Commander of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire by Queen Elizabeth on December 31st, 2005. The title, which is the third highest rank of British chivalry, was awarded for his achievements in industrial design, including the iMac and iPod. Also this week, the famously deaf leader of The Who, Pete Townshend, warns iPod users to be careful with their ears. It looks like Apple is continuing with its policy of delaying the QuickTime web broadcast of Steve Jobs' keynote at the Macworld Expo. The Expo keynote is scheduled for 9 a.m. Pacific time on January 10th. The Mac Observer will, of course, provide coverage of the keynote along with other events throughout the week. In this week's diversions, Vern Seward offers just a thought on grammar and spell checking, while Ted Landau talks about spoiled surprises and Steve Jobs' keynotes. Bob Dr. Mac Levitis also raves about Print Shop 2 for the Mac. For those interested in the Consumer Electronics Show, you can also check out our photo galleries of the event. There are three of them. You should all also be aware, another Macworld Expo is upon us, and that means it's time for the year's single most important event ever in the Mac community, Cirque du Mac 3. The Mac Observer and Backbeat Media will hold the annual midweek party in San Francisco on Wednesday, that's January 11th, at the Red Devil Lounge, and this year's event once again features the Macworld All-Star Band. It also has henna tattoo artists, clowns, and an open bar. The party is invitation only, so you will need a ticket to get in. TMO will give away 10 sets of two tickets in a drawing. To enter, send an email to contests@macobserver.com. Finally this week, some administrivia. After I asked last week whether we should ditch our bass riff interludes, I received a few notes saying that they should stay. So thanks to those of you that wrote in, both for and against. For now, we'll keep things as they are. But please, continue to send in your comments on the show. They help us understand what you think of what we're doing, and they help us shape the roundup going forward. You can send your comments, as always, to roundup@macobserver.com. One other thing. This is the fifth episode of this podcast, and we're still deciding if the roundup has legs. The best way to keep the show going is to tell other people about it. Know someone who might want their Mac news in podcast form? Tell them about the show. We'd be honored to get your recommendation. You can also vote for us at Podcast Alley. Just have to follow the link at macobserver.com/roundup, or you could put a review in at iTunes. Thanks to all of you for your support, and keep an eye on this feed next week. There will be a lot of news coming out of San Francisco, so we might, maybe, just maybe, need to do a special edition of the show. And that's the news. Thanks for listening to the Weekly Roundup. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. The bass is by Boom for TMO. And don't miss TMO2Go's other podcast, The Mac Geek Gab, with Dave Hamilton and John Braun. Stay subscribed, everyone, and until next week, we'll see you online.